Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only. Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be discussing Russell Moore and Gavin Ortland's combined effort to struggle session Christians on speech because the woke blasphemy laws are ending. They are coming down. And now we're starting to see these squishy evangelicals try to police language to return to the woke blasphemy laws. And that's what Russell Moore and Gavin Ortland, but I'm somewhat repeating myself because, you know, I don't want to completely use a Star Wars analogy, but, you know, one's the master Sith Lord and the other's the apprentice. And that is Gavin Ortland, the apprentice, and Russell Moore is the master of, you know, Sith Lord. Except, you know, in this case, the Sith are unambiguously evil. I just want to be very clear. You know, we're not going by prequel trilogy morality here. These Sith are unapologetically evil. Russell Moore's a wicked man who did a lot of damage to the Southern Baptist Convention. His slander of the Southern Baptist Convention embroiled the entire convention in millions of dollars of lawsuits because he made up a lie that was investigated and ultimately found not there. And, you know, he also like attacked certain figures that were in many cases not deserving of attack and were innocent and or correct. Like when Paige Patterson said that Trillia suggested that Trillia Newbell was a liberal. He was right about that. Anyway, and then Gavin Ortland is a popular YouTuber and he's a liberal. He's, you know, very liberal on the book of Genesis and stuff like that. They both go to the same church, which is a very liberal church. It has a homosexual pastor named Sam Alberry, who teaches that homosexual desires and identity are not sinful. He founded the organization Living Out, which has an assessment to, you know, encourage churches not to be homophobic. And I'm using homophobic as in hydrophobic. Like, Christianity is naturally homophobic. It does not mix with the homo. So, with that said, there is a peeling back of the woke blasphemy laws. And, you know, it started when people could say retard again. Now people are using some homophobic slurs just openly, and you love to see that. And, you know, then there's some other stuff that are down the pike, which we don't necessarily have to get into, you know, maybe like a Shiloh Hendricks type of situation. Well, I'll leave it at that. But now here comes the evangelical elites who want to counteract this positive social development. And that's what we're going to discuss today. But first, I want to let you know Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. You can support our work over at Evangelical Dark Web's Patreon-like system. We also have a free newsletter that gives you Christian news in your inbox each and every day. But the least you can do is like this video, subscribe to the channel, to the podcast, if you are new. Now, this is the first video. And this is how you know, like, hey, these liberal evangelicals are kind of coordinating together because, you know, they go to the same church and they come out with the same thing in like a very similar period of time. So here's a clip from Russell Moore going after Doug Wilson in part for speech.
I've had to deal pastorally with a lot of young men who have gotten involved in the Doug Wilson stuff. They do not become responsible, faithful men. They become losers who are finding a way somehow to blame women for their own lack of responsibility and are able supplement the normal, ordinary 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus vision of what it means to be a responsible man with making sarcastic comments while drinking bourbon and smoking cigars and having that as a substitute in. And if you throw in some racist comments and call women derogatory terms, that makes it even better. That does not work. And so you don't even have, even at the pragmatic level, the picture of this. Look at, how can you argue with the results? Look at the results. They're terrifying. They're awful.
I think that we're
time.
So yeah, that's Russell Moore calling Doug Wilson followers losers. And yeah, no one's a bigger loser than Russell Moore. There's that photo of him, you know, wearing the mask in the car saying that this hobbit's been vaccinated. No one is a bigger loser than Russell Moore. And again, the damage that he's done to the Southern Baptist Convention. He runs the Christianity Today, which is one of the most liberal outlets out there. It's a very gay-affirming outlet as well. One of the outlets that most promoted Kamala Harris, and especially the evangelicals for Harris. A lot of the people in Christianity Today also were in evangelicals for Harris. So it's very much, he is a liberal's liberal, and he is the mentor of Gavin Ortland, which is very important to bring up. And Joe Rigney kind of responded to Gavin Ortland's video. He said, "I'm always amazed at evangelicals like Ortland here, who overtly advocate selective imitation of the character and speech of Christ, the prophets, and the apostles. Imitate Christ's gentleness, but not his serrated edge. Imitates Ezekiel's zeal, but not his rhetoric. It strikes me as a subtle attempt to be holier than God." And in my book, Winning Not Winsome, I have a whole chapter titled "Thou Shalt Not Be Nicer Than God." You can get this. It's linked in the description below. And yeah, I lay out more parameters for speech, which hopefully will come up in this video. But the whole chapter is about not being nicer than God. And that is what Gavin Ortland represents. He is the latest iteration. He is the new hope. To go back to a Star Wars analogy, unintentional. New hope for the next phase of liberal evangelicals, because they don't have anyone that can reach the next generation as well as Gavin Ortland can. He is the guy that can reach the next generation for liberal evangelicals, because he is, you know, and he's Russell Moore's protege. So that is useful to know going into this. And here we go. Because now, you know, now the apprentice is going after Doug Wilson. Let's see what he says.
"I've had to deal pastorally with..."
Hold on. Wrong video.
It's good. But then, and this is the human nature and how we sometimes react to one problem by falling into another one, there's also these alarming tendencies and extremes bubbling up in conservative spaces as well. Am I alone in this? Do you see this? I'm concerned about this. I think about this all the time, maybe every day. This comes up in some way or another. I want to give my life to spreading the gospel, to communicating the beauty of Christ right now. So it's worth thinking about anything that is going to detract us from that. And I'm seeing a lot of things bubbling up on the conservative side of things that are very troubling. The one that I want to talk about in this video is speech and an increase of more extreme speech, ungodly speech, and the normalizing of this. This is very serious because the way we speak to each other, you know, online, on the internet, and then in the broader culture, this is a very serious matter. This has been on my mind lately because CNN did a recent segment on Doug Wilson, who's a pastor in Idaho, who has a very, very much a growing influence right now in certain circles. And there were lots of concerning aspects to this interview, such as the idea of wanting to repeal the 19th Amendment, which granted women the right to vote. That came up from one of his fellow pastors, and then Wilson defended this position in a follow-up, framing it.
So this is Gavin Ortland defending the 19th Amendment here. He says that this was problematic. And again, that kind of means he's a feminist, because first wave feminism was this. And if you support this, if you support the 19th Amendment, you are a first wave feminist, and you are a feminist. And congratulations, you need to repent of that. So yeah, this is Gavin Ortland being a feminist here.
It as a matter of household voting. And then another concern is just speech, particularly speech about women. Unfortunately, this has been a pattern with Wilson. I'm not going to read the words on the screen.
So, you know, these are some bangers from Doug Wilson over the years. And the URL is from Kaylee Triller Harms. And she is a rabid feminist that he's citing here. Just worth noting, like other times he cites like Kevin DeYoung and stuff like that in this video. We're not going to do the whole video, by the way. But it is interesting to note, you know, he went to the feminist hit piece against Doug Wilson, and it's written by someone who supports no-fault divorce and stuff and all these other liberal policies. So That's who Gavin Orland's using for research. I just think that's funny. And again, Doug Wilson uses some gamer, very poetic gamer language, and I don't believe that this is sinful, but Gavin Orland is an effeminate, so he is very squeamish about this.
I'm not going to dwell on this. I'll link to in the video description to this article that you're seeing here on screen, and then also to this one, which I'll leave up for just a second here. You can see some of the language that he has used over the years. You can read these, you know, check out these articles, read them in context. Unfortunately, the context doesn't help. There is simply no excuse whatsoever for this kind of language. It is a scandal to the gospel that a minister would use sexualized insults like this. Now, the rest of this video is not going to be about...
Again, you can find that in the Bible, sexualized insults in the Bible. So, you know, but again, you're not Ezekiel. You're not Elijah. You're not Jesus or Paul or anyone like that. He does kind of go there, which is almost the next part we're going to go to, but we'll let him finish.
I'm not going to be criticizing one movement or person specifically, because I think this is a broader trend. And it's not just in one place or another. I see this. Again, the concern I have here is a normalization of ungodly speech. In some circles, especially with young people, for example, it's even perceived to be kind of cool or edgy to use language that 10 years ago would have been seen as disgraceful, even 5 years ago. But times are changing. And so we got to talk about these things coming up. This is one of these things you see right now. And it's this a kind of lunge toward ungodly speech and more extreme forms of speech being normalized. And I think Christ calls us to something better. So the rest of this video isn't going to be criticizing that as much as just, okay, reflecting biblically on what does this look like for us who are trying to be biblical in how we think about speech, because this is not simple or formulaic either. And I'll try to offer some biblical thoughts that might...
All right, so let's dive into this. So when it comes to what's changed in the last 5 to 10 years, wokeness is in retreat. That's what's changed. That's why the language is getting edgier, and the language needs to get edgier, because we have been in a woke fog. You know, I mentioned you can't say things like retard and stuff like that. And that was a problem because of these language policing rules were basically used to enforce social dogma that was anti-Christ. So with that said, Gavin Orland's being retarded here. anyway, there, we got it out of our system. We kind of need to say that. But as it stands, this is not a negative development. This is a positive development. Donald Trump, in many ways, him, you know, breaking down the barriers of speech was a positive development. And we should be glad that we are not just, you know, being nice to each other, by our speech, but then in our actions being wicked. Now, there are some issues, and ironically, the issues that he points out, I think, are actually inverted as well, but we'll get to that later on as well. So let's first jump ahead to the part where he says, we're not Jesus, Paul, or Elijah. And this is the section that Joe Rigney alluded to.
Humility. Here's the second thing to think about. We are not Jesus or Paul. We are not Elijah or Ezekiel. The harsh or extreme language that we find in Scripture comes from authoritative leaders among God's people facing extreme circumstances. That does not mean it's never a model or that we can't learn from it, but it does mean that humility is needed to not too quickly put ourselves into their position, because there's a lot of differences. Even for ordained ministers today, we do not have the same thus saith the Lord authority of a prophet or an apostle. And this just means humility and how we think this through. There's differences between Paul and ourselves. I mean, one obvious one is the internet. You know, when we communicate over the internet, I try to speak in very restrained ways on the internet versus if I'm talking face to face with someone. You speak more openly. You know, people often who only know me through YouTube often talk about how he's super nice and this kind of thing. But you know, face to face, I'm much more candid. But I just think online we need to be more careful.
I like how he's admitting that his online persona is a lot different than how he is in real life. Let me just be really blunt. I am the same person online or in person. I do make a lot more jokes in person because of the format of what I'm doing. This is Christian news gathering and commentary, so I don't do as many jokes while I do this, but otherwise I'm a bit of a pathological comedian, and you know, I'm just kind of always making jokes in a moment. So that's just a little, you know, and that sometimes comes up in videos, but I actually do try to be formal in a lot of what I do here compared to how I am. But he's just admitting that, hey, I'm super nice on camera, but off camera, you know, I'm more honest and stuff like that. And that's actually worse. That's worse than what the opposite instinct is. But he's about to say that what he does is more biblical than the reverse, which I'll actually disagree with. as well.
And face-to-face is when you're more open. The temptation of the flesh probably will push us in the other direction, you know, to be very flippant online, but then face-to-face, we kind of pull back. But I think that's where we should be more open. But even apart from just, you know, circumstances like technology.
So let's actually talk about that. When you're on the internet, it is, first of all, like things like Twitter is a Twitter X. That is a, steel cage match, really. It is fifth generation warfare, an omnipresent warfare. And, you know, the thing about this is that, you know, battles can be won without shedding blood. So that's kind of why it's important for, you know, hey, we can actually effect major cultural changes without shedding blood. We will shed tears, but not blood. So that is why it's a strategic front. And shifting the Overton window, you know, things like the famous Springfield, Ohio story shifted the Overton window. And there's a lot of things that are important for shifting the Overton window. And that includes language. That includes, you know, saying gamer words that the woke mob got people canceled for saying all these years.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So it's important to be transgressive to the spirit of the age. And online, you can speak more generally. In person, you're dealing with an individual, so you speak individually. And that is, I think, a more healthy way of doing it. Yes, online, I'm going to be a lot more, I don't want to say flippant. He would view it as flippant. I would view it as general. I'm making a general statement about something that's generally true. And I'm using inflammatory rhetoric because I'm pushing in a fifth generation warfare agenda here. Whereas in person, I'm dealing with a person. It could be evangelizing situation. It could, you know, evangelical dark web. That's the word, evangelical is what I want to say. No, evangelizing situation. It could be, a ministering situation to another Christian in need. There's a lot of things, or it could just be a candid conversation, or it could be a discreet conversation, one that requires discretion. So there's a lot of different formats that happen in person that don't always exist online. So, especially not how it's often used.
The more basic point is we don't have the same level of authority as these biblical figures, and we're not facing all the same contexts. And so we need to be very careful here. One of my friends put it to me like this, thinking this through this morning. He said, imagine that a pastor was wearing far too little clothing. I'm sorry, I don't know how else to make this point, but to say it. And then when he is confronted, he appeals to Isaiah 20 verse 2. And he says, well, look, it's in the Bible. Isaiah the prophet did this, therefore I can do it. I mean, that's a more obvious example, hopefully, but it shows the need for humility and just saying, well, there's an example of something in the scripture. Therefore, I have a blueprint that I can now follow. And what is needed here is humility to see our place in the bigger picture. To the extent that we do experience being led by the Lord to speak harsher truths, that will mean much more prayer, much more counsel, much more spending time in the Word, much more, and it's, again, probably not over the internet. But those are two setting up points that really lead.
So, yeah, that's just not a good analogy. In fact, I would dare say that's a retarded analogy. Let's see. I actually want to skip to his point number one, which is some speech is always wrong, because this is where the struggle session that this is, you know, against gamer words, against poetic language. And the whole video is called Should Pastors Use Profanity? So it's not even, but the whole content is really not directed at pastors at all. He's largely using Doug Wilson's name for clout, which isn't necessarily wrong. That is YouTube. That is how it works. But still, that, you know, it's a little off topic for the video. So I'll do that, and then I'll get into some more helpful advice and maybe even a pop quiz for application here.
This. So a few final points. Number one, some speech is just always wrong. When we're recognizing that there are rare moments for more strident language, we should also say, okay, yeah, but some speech is just never okay. Some speech is so toxic and so sinful that we should have a zero tolerance policy, and repentance and discipline should be required so that the church is not scandalized when it occurs.
So let me actually say what this speech is. One, slander, using the Lord as a curse word, I would take more offense to that over any F-bomb. Like, give me 7 F-bombs before using the Lord as a curse word. Slander, deceit, bearing false witness. These are actually some of the most offensive. I'd say coarse joking, but there is a context for what that means. Joking about sin and stuff like that. And false teaching. Like, these are some of the worst things that you can do. So, like, you know, Gavin Orland's homeboy that teaches homosexual desires aren't sin. Yeah, that's way worse than dropping an F-bomb. So, with that, or, you know, Russell Moore and, you know, what he publishes at Christianity Today, way worse than dropping an F-bomb.
So, in other words, no one should say, you know, well, I can just drop the worst curse words I know because I've only done that like twice in my life, so therefore it's okay. It's like, no, even those rare occasions where firmer or more strident or more colorful speech might be acceptable, it should still have extremely tight parameters and be carefully measured. It's very interesting that in Matthew 12, Jesus says,
This is a good verse. And part of another thing about speech that I think this falls into is when we use words incorrectly. So, you know, idle, useless, thoughtless. So useless words. So, you know, there's a SpongeBob episode about sentence enhancers, you know, sailor mounts. It's actually a canceled episode, I think. There's like 2 canceled episodes. They're both banger episodes, but that one's canceled, sailor mounts. And that episode's about them flippantly using colorful language because they just learned a new word and they're stupid. And yes, using words like F-bomb every other sentence is useless language. And I do believe that that is bad. That would be careless. That might even be sin. And yeah, you're using colorful language flippantly instead of pointedly. I do think that is an issue. Instead of using colorful language in their denotative context for accurate and effective connotative outcomes. So denotative context for connotative outcomes. That, to me, is more important when you're using colorful language.
Does not say that you will give an account on Judgment Day for every evil word, but rather for every careless word. So biblical severity should never be sort of throwaway and careless. It's not a reflexive outburst. It's sober and intentional and proportionate to the issue being addressed, aligned with the goals of love and restoration. Ultimately, it should carry an emotional weight of grief and longing and pastoral urgency. It shouldn't be flippant and have the lightness of just a witty jab. I think this sometimes can, this undercuts what you sometimes hear of when people say, well, I'm just telling the truth. You know, I'm just telling it like it is. And I think Jesus is actually calling us to say more than the truth, but to speak words that are careful, to exhibit great care, and have a tight rein over our tongue. Be cautious.
Another thing about the whole internet versus in person, like Jesus spoke very generally publicly he spoke generally, and even more generally, he spoke in, you know, the parables versus in person, he was more direct. Just saying.
A second comment is cultural pressure increases, not decreases, the need for godly speech. I think sometimes people, the mentality that is a temptation for us in some circles is, look how bad things are getting. We can't play by the normal rules. Desperate times call for desperate measures. And so kind of normal patterns of speech are put on the back burner. And now we can speak in a more extreme way. And to the extent that there is a fear that is motivating that, I don't despise that or look down on that. I understand we are in unusual times that does feel turbulent right now. But the appeal that I would make is that this makes all the more urgent to speak words of hope and life. And, you know, it's like when the darkness is deepening, the light of the hope of Christ should shine out all the brighter, not flicker out in frustration or bitterness. The Apostle Peter said, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. Those words right there, already worth thinking about. But then notice the context is, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. So Peter is writing to Christians who are being maligned and being slandered. The pressure was real, but the call was in that context, even in dire circumstances, to live with honor and integrity in a way that glorifies God. And this is the charge, ultimately, to have speech that reflects the beauty and reality of Christ. Here's a sobering thought. People will draw conclusions about Christ based upon the words we use. This should make us all tremble a little bit. Final pastoral point is just to remember.
Yes, and one of the worst witnesses for the church has been these squishy evangelical pastors that went along with liberal language. And that drives people away. We are living in a time where now it is a phenomenon that more men are church, like I believe it's from 1995 onward, there are more men in the church than women. Why is that? Well, in part, feminism and stuff like that. But the fact that we're trying to feminize the language and we're trying to police, you know, bring back the woke blasphemy laws in a context where more men are in church than women, we are trying to effeminize these people. That is wrong. That is the danger and ultimately his advice, because he's saying that we shouldn't use the gamer words. We shouldn't, in Doug Wilson's context, he's a prolific writer. And, you know, when he's on fire, he's on fire. And his prose is very good. It's a, you know, and the barbed pen is more effective than the squishy noodle rhetoric that you got out of mainstream thou shalt be nicer than God evangelicalism, which turned people off. It turned people off when they went along with wokeness liberalism, when all these churches are promoting illegal aliens invading our country. That turns people off. They will look elsewhere. They will look to Norse paganism. They will look to Eastern Orthodoxy, which I know Gavin Ortland really dislikes, but, you know, I'd rather be Eastern Orthodox and go to church with him and, you know, sit under a gay pastor and all that. So they will look elsewhere. They will go back to Rome and they will, you know, give up the heritage of this country and go to a foreign religion because these people, Russell Moore, Gavin Ortland, Ray Ortland, throw his father under the bus too, and a bunch of other people in Big Eva were too nice to address the issues that were facing the Christians that they were speaking to, or even the prospective Christians that they were speaking to. And that turns people off. When you don't address what's going on in the words that are necessary to address what's going on, they will look elsewhere, because here's the thing about men. They follow courage. There's a reason why Doug Wilson has an audience. He was courageous. There's a reason why John MacArthur had a huge audience. He was courageous. So men follow courage. And that's what Christians need to be. We need to be courageous.
This is a practical one for if you have a difficult conversation coming up or you're trying to think about this in a specific moment. If all else fails, think about this. Imagine Jesus is in the room with you right now.
Okay. He got his last point is a Jesus juke, and I want to move on to some more edifying practical stuff going forward. So Michael Clary made this nice little chart here about righteous speech, unrighteous speech, soft speech, hard speech. I'm not sure I want to read a PowerPoint slide here, but it is worth mentioning the Bible has a lot to say about soft speech being unrighteous. And there's a lot of warnings. Smooth talk and flattery, they, false teachers, deceive hearts of the naive. It's in Romans 16. And then even the, you know, the admonitions against harsh, unrighteous speech, obviously, you know, husbands not being too harsh with their wives. Quarrelsome has more to do with brawling than it does your language necessarily. But one of the things that Gavin Ortland also says is that, you know, Christians against non-Christians. I don't see that as the major issue. I see the bigger issue is Christians on Christians being unbiblical in their speech to one another. I think that's a much bigger concern. And, you know, on Sundays, I try not to really criticize any Christians on social media, you know, Twitter sphere. I'm not really going after Christians or people that I view as Christians. I'm not really going to touch them on Sundays and stuff like that. It's just something I want to do because, you know, I think it is a, I think we do need to, project and act unified where and when possible. Michael Clary also points out this example. You know, Paul says that the Cretans are liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons in the same book, just chapters before saying, you know, be obedient and respectful of authorities and rulers and stuff like that. Show courtesy towards all people. Paul isn't stupid and he didn't contradict himself, is what Michael Clary is saying. And lastly, I have a practical example. Lucas Kuriko of Method Ministry, you know, or Menstrual Ministries, as I'd like to call it. He was a liberal YouTuber. He talked about Joel Webbin being adopted and therefore trying to pervert his own standard against him, which it doesn't really work because if he's like genetically American, there's like nothing going on there. If, you know, all parents involved with him being adopted are American, it's a moot point. So he's going after and criticizing adoption. And this guy named Punk Spencer, says doubling down on the take of adoption is bullshit, especially coming from a pastor. His true parents are, you know, the ones who adopted him, just like our true father God is the one who adopted us. There's still time to repent. And then Lucas says, repent for taking God's name in vain and swearing. So he viewed swearing as a bigger issue. Now, again, I don't agree with using the term, but my God, man. But that's not necessarily as extreme as using it as a curse word, but that is that is gray area there. But I will say, because there are idioms in the Bible that invoke God's name, like as the Lord lives. But with that said, which is the more perverse speech? Lucas going out, you know, attacking someone for being adopted, or Punk Spencer using a four-letter word? And I think the answer is clearly Lucas's speech is the wicked speech. So those are my thoughts about that for today. As we, you know, here's the thing about Gavin Rowland. He is the liberals' new hope for, you know, corrupting the next generation of evangelicalism. He is the Russell Moore of YouTube. So you got to be mindful of people like that. And that's all I got to say about that for now. My name is Ray. It's the Evangelical Dark Web. Have a blessed day. Stay based. Christ is King. And we will catch you on the next one.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10/1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.